And we need to go to Genesis chapter 1. So we just concluded Portraits of Grace. That was an enjoyable series. I'm really excited about this one. I mean, they're all good. Just like the Bible's all good, right? The whole Bible's good. I'll let you finish getting your sheets there, and then we'll talk about it for a second. So we're going to be in Genesis. Let me move the slide. Well, here it says, one lifetime, limited resources, eternal priorities. And so if we keep those three phrases in our mind, because we only have one life, don't we? This is it. And we only have limited resources, and so we must keep the eternal purpose and the eternal priority in our view. So this is what we're looking at today. Stewarding Life is the name of the overall name of the series, and today's lesson is also called Stewarding Life. It says their life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to Him. And I like that. So today we'll talk about stewarding life just in general, like an overview. We need to start with what life is. And then as we move further into the series, where it's all about stewardship, we'll talk, I think next week is stewarding time, and then stewarding health. And these aren't in order, but these are some of the ones I'm thinking of. Stewarding our thoughts, that would be a good one. Stewarding our family. And so different things like that. Everything we have, our own life and every resource that we have is a gift from God. And that's really what stewarding life is all about, understanding that our life and everything we have comes directly from God. And so I hope this series will be a blessing to you. I'm already excited about it, and just in preparation for today's lesson, I really enjoyed it. So let's go to Genesis 1, and we'll just read a couple verses here. We'll look at some other verses as we move along. Beginning in verse 26. Of course, when we go to Genesis 1, it's the beginning of everything, isn't it? And verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Interesting that we see the words us and our there. It's a direct reference to the Trinity. As the Trinity had this council, we might say, and they were saying, "Let us make man in our own image." And let's read on. "After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And let's pray, and we'll get into our lesson this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. As Dale mentioned in his prayer, what a blessing it is to have your word, to learn the truths from it. And today we come to you asking you to bless this lesson. Help me to get out of the way, and just we ask the Holy Spirit to teach the lesson. Lord, as we consider life, what is life? What's the purpose of life? How we can be stewards of life? We ask you to open our eyes to that this morning and throughout these next weeks as we study this series. Bless our time now, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you go to just walk in any so-called Christian bookstore, and you'll find dozens of books, what we would classify as self-help books. There would be dozens, maybe even hundreds of them. There'd be books on life management. There would be books on organizing and prioritizing. Books on budgeting, books on administrating, setting goals, managing people, all of these kind of books. I'm not opposed to those, but as we look at the topic of stewardship, it's really a different approach than what these self-help gurus would be trying to get us to do. Even a surface skim of those books would reveal a common sub-theme, and that would be that the authors attempt to teach you how to be successful by living out your dreams and trying to get you to be the best version of you that you possibly can. And again, this stewarding life, the Bible approach is a little bit different than that. And I do believe we ought to reach our potential, but not to reach our potential, what we think our potential is, or what we want to impose dreams upon ourselves, but we need to reach our potential, the potential that God has for us, and that's the difference. What does God have for me to do? Why did He create me? And how can I live a purposeful life and bring glory to Him, not glory to me and the success that I might have through living out my dreams and being the best me I can be? So a little bit different. It's a different approach, and we're going to look at that today. Stewarding life, as I said, is a different concept. Rather than focusing on self-fulfillment and personal legacy, we start by recognizing that life is a gift from God. And that's the foundational truth right there, and that's why we go back to Genesis 1 and saw it here, when God said, "Let us create man in our image," and He, out of the dust of the earth, created man. Now, this lesson isn't on evolution versus creation, but we clearly see from Scripture, and I think everyone here would agree and believe that we're creationists. We believe that God created everything, and not that there's no evolving. You know, it's God is the creator. And so we start by recognizing that life is a gift from Him. He entrusted it to us to steward for Him. In other words, God says, I'm giving you life. Now you take care of it and steward it for me. And that's really the whole emphasis of this series here. Additionally, every resource we have comes from God. Our time, our finances, our health, our relationships, our influence. Every component of our life is a resource from God. And these components are tools that can be used to accomplish God's plan for our lives. That ought to be our goal. Well, that brings us to our first thing on your worksheet here. Our approach to the resources that God has given us will determine our success in fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. Now, our introduction here is a little more lengthy than I usually do, but I thought it was good to cover these. There's really only three basic methods people can choose to appropriate the resources that God's given to them. And that's your three. You've got a 1, 2, 3 on your sheet there. So the first one is this: squandering. Squandering is indiscriminately wasting resources on purposeless living. And our society is rampant with this approach. People all around us with no concept of the fact that they have a divine purpose for living, and so they coast through life. Their motto is live and let live. They just do what you want. They're maybe chasing the dollar and whatever, but they squander. They're directionless wasters. And even the most successful and disciplined executives often invest their resources into selfish and temporal pursuits. And again, no concept that God has a divine purpose for my life. And so when we consider that we have the opportunity to live successfully with a divine mission, that will help us to invest our lives in eternal purposes. Anything less would be a waste. The second approach that some take is spending. Now, obviously, we have to spend, but this is like overspending. It says here, spending is using God's resources without ever allowing them to be replenished. often this type of person, the motivation is right. We want to give selflessly to others, but often our method is wrong. We are failing to depend on God, and we ignore His built-in cycles of rest and renewal. I thought that was interesting. God created life to function optimally with a natural rhythm of work and rest. Work and rest. Work and rest. We need to be willing to pause to seek God's times of replenishment, not just in our lives, but in our resources, to take a pause and let them be replenished. We must humbly remember that our lives are not ours to spend foolishly. We should invest our lives only at a pace in which we can receive God's enabling resources. And I thought that was good. And so we must remember that. Then the third one is stewarding. Stewarding is recognizing that our lives and our resources are a gift from God, and we purpose to use them for His glory, for God's glory. And how important that is. It also means that I recognize God graciously provides the resources that I need to carry out His purposes. He gives life, He sustains life, He provides, and He replenishes my resources. If we follow that natural cycle of spending or rest or working in rest and so forth. Really, God has attached to our lives a profound purpose that only we or only you can live out. There's something God has for you to do. There's something God has for me to do. And what He has for you to do, only you can accomplish. What He has for me to do, only I can accomplish. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. God has purposefully and specifically designed a purpose for each of us. And it's important that we understand that. It's about studying God's principles for how He wants us to handle the resources He has given to us, and then applying those principles to wisely and diligently live out God's purposes for our lives. Now, I want you to, in that next little space here, I didn't put this on your sheet, but I wish I had. This is a great statement. So just write it in here. It says, a steward is one who spends by investment. A steward is one who spends by investment. In other words, as I spend my life, I want to invest it into God's work, for instance. I want to invest my life into others. I want to invest my life into my family. I don't want to just be purposelessly wasting my time or my resources or my life. I want to be a good steward, and a good and wise steward invests his life into the things that God has for him. And so So those are three ways, and then that additional thing we added concerning different approaches to steward, or to spending, I guess you could say. Well, let's go ahead and get started here on our outline. The origin of life. We saw that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And as we begin to understand this concept of stewardship, we need to lay a biblical foundation for the very gift of life. We can't steward something if we don't understand what life is in the first place. And so it brings us back to Genesis, and we see the beginning of all things. Before we know how to steward properly the resources God has given us, we must understand, well, what is life all about? And so we have to lay this foundation here this morning. First of all, let's see our eternal God. Our eternal God. And then there's a next one right after that. Understanding the beginning of life is important because it tells us about God, that He is eternal and the source of all life. He's the source of life. He's the upholder of life. He is the spring of living water. Now, hold your place there. Let's look at a quick verse, Psalm chapter 36. Psalm chapter 36. This is a good, interesting verse. Psalm 36, verse 9 says, "For with thee," thee being God, of course, "with thee is the fountain of life." In other words, God is the source of life. "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." but particularly that first part, with thee is the fountain of life. God is the source of all life. God alone is self-existent. No one made God or created God. He's always existed. He is eternal. And sometimes you and I have a hard time wrapping our brains around this concept of eternity. Infinitely that direction, infinitely that direction, like it's eternal, you know, it's just, it's a hard concept to understand. But God alone has the power to create life. He alone has the power to give life. And so we learn about our eternal God. Secondly, we learn about, as we come back to the beginning here in Genesis, we learn about our creating God. So we learn that God is eternal, and we learn that He is creating, or He's creative. He is the creator. It would be impossible to learn God's plan for life without starting right here in Genesis, because this is where life itself began. God, the Bible tells us that God created. Created means to bring into existence. And so we learn this important truth here from Genesis 1. We learn a foundational biblical truth, and that is this: God spoke everything into existence from nothing. In other words, He created. It's easy to say, well, I don't understand how that could be possible. How could that work? Let me just help you with that. We're not going to understand at all. If we could, then God wouldn't be God, right? We would know as much or be on equal terms with God. No. All we know is the Bible tells us He spoke. This is power that we don't understand. He spoke the world into existence. Then He formed man out of the dust of the ground. He creates, and you know, it's easy to hurriedly read even those verses we read this morning, 26 through 28. It's easy to hurriedly read over those verses without pausing to take a glimpse of the incredible moment when God crafted His creative masterpiece of human life. You know, we read about how he created the stars and the moon and the sun. He created the fish and the fowl and the creatures, the creeping things on earth and so forth. And we read all of that through Genesis 1 and 2, but we sometimes fail to think how marvelous it was when He created man and breathed life into his nostrils. Amazing, amazing. It was the crown, we could say the crowning jewel of creation. Some have humorously commented on the creation of Adam and Eve in this way. They said, after God created Adam, He looked at man and said, I can do better than that. So He created woman. You women like that one, right? Oh, boy. So the origin of life. God is eternal and He is creative. He created all things. Let's look at number two here. So we see the origin of life. Now we must understand the sanctity of life. This takes us a little bit deeper. We begin to unpack a little bit more. We look at it a little closer, because it's one thing to understand that all life comes from God. It's the next thing is to understand that that life that does come from God, it is sacred. We call it the sanctity of life, and very important to understand. So until we understand the immense value of each life, and we'll mention this in a moment, I'm not just talking about in the womb, I'm talking about your lives here and now. Until you understand the immense value that God places on your life, listen, we would be prone to squander it. We'd be prone to waste it. And we see that all around us. We see lives all around out in society squandering and wasting life. Not fulfilling the purpose that God has for them. And that's a shame. But the sanctity of life, let's look at letter A here. Why is that? Well, because it's provided by God. It's provided by God. Next statement. We recognize that life is sacred because it is provided by God. In fact, your life was purposefully created by God, specially planned. Listen to this next phrase. Because, you know, as believers, we sometimes struggle with this. Let me start again. Your life was purposely created by God, specially planned, listen to this next phrase, even before you were born. Amazing. Amazing. Now, let's look at a few passages together. And the first one that comes to mind is Jeremiah chapter 1. So let's go there. Hold your place in Genesis. Pardon me. Jeremiah chapter 1. Look at three instances here quickly. Jeremiah 1 and verse number 5. Let's look at verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and this is what God said to Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, right? In his mother's belly, what did he say? I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now there we see the purpose for the prophet Jeremiah. God said, before you were ever formed in your mom's belly, I knew you and I knew what your plan was. I had a plan for you. And before you were even born, I already had it all laid out. Now, he says that to Jeremiah, but he says the same thing to us. That he knew us before we were born. He has a plan for us before we came out. Look at Luke chapter 1 now. Over to the New Testament, the book of Luke. This is concerning the angel that was talking about Zacharias, talking about the birth of John the Baptist. And he highlighted the significance of life while it was yet in the womb. And we look at that in verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15. And the he there, speaking of John the Baptist, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine or strong drink. Watch, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, when? Even from his mother's womb. So we see that once again. And then one more place, Psalm again. We're back to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. These are good verses. These are good pro-life verses. Again, the lesson's not necessarily about being pro-life or against abortion, but there are certainly things in this lesson that would apply to that, and this is one of them, the sanctity of life. Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that thy soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, now watch this next phraseology here. This is interesting. In thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So he's saying God had all my body parts written and recorded before they were ever existing. He's talking about life in the womb, of course. So these are great verses to substantiate what we're talking about here, the sanctity of your life. It's provided by God, and because of that, it has great value. Next, from the moment of conception, life is sanctified and recognized. That's a very important word, recognized by God. And we saw that in those three passages we just looked at. From conception, the moment of conception, life is sanctified and recognized by God. Life is a valuable possession and one that we should learn to steward wisely. All right, letter B. Not only because it's provided by God, but it's protected by God. Life is protected by God. So the value of life is not only seen in God's creation, but it's also clear in His protection of life. And we could further illustrate again by those three things we just saw, Jeremiah and John the Baptist and so forth. We could go back to those and see that same truth applied in those passages. But let's just say this in communicating God, how He values life. Here it says, God clearly communicated the value He places on human life in one little four-word statement. What is that four-word statement? Well, yeah, but that'll work too. Thou shalt not kill is the four-word statement. And you might want to jot the reference. It's Exodus 20, verse 13. That's the sixth commandment, the sixth of the Ten Commandments. And just in that one little phrase, God really says to us and teaches us that He places great, great value on human life. Even before the Ten Commandments were given by God through Moses, God gave human government the responsibility to protect life. You're in Genesis there. Let's look at Genesis 9. We'll just show that to you. Genesis 9, verse 6. Here's the command that God gave. This is before the Ten Commandments, but He says in verse 6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Why? "For in the image of God made He man." And so there we see, even before the Ten Commandments, God wanting life protected. The New Testament likewise affirms the right of government to impose a death penalty. Let's look at Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. And verse number 4. Romans 13, verse number 4, the Bible says, "For he," excuse me, "he being a ruler, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." And so we see the New Testament helping us with that same truth there. So obviously, God values life. He created it. He sustains it. He sanctified it. And He protects it. Let's go a step further. Number three, the sovereignty of God over life. Let me get a little drink here. The sovereignty of God over life. What do we mean by that? Well, it just means this. God, obviously, sovereignty. God is in charge. He decides when to give life or when to take life. He is sovereign over life. And let's go a little further into that. First, in the giving of life. We know that God creates life, but we need to take a step further and remember that only God creates life. He is completely sovereign over life from the conception all the way to death. He is sovereign over life. And let's put this one here. There are biblical accounts of God specially giving life, in other words, children, to women. Examples of that, and we won't read the passages, but the examples are Sarah. Remember Abraham and Sarah? She was beyond age. She was beyond childbearing age, but God gave her life in her womb at an old age. Hannah was barren, as well as Elizabeth in the New Testament. And so those are examples of God specially giving life to these individuals. And so all these women experience the reality that only our sovereign God can open or close the womb. And so they experience that. Secondly, in the blessing of life. So God is sovereign in the giving and in the blessing of life. Since God creates and since He sustains life, we are dependent on Him to for fulfillment in life. Life is God's creative masterpiece, and He alone has the power to sustain it and give it meaning and purpose. You can see now that we're beginning to zero in on this idea of stewardship. We've considered the origin of life. We considered the value of that life. We consider that God gives life. We considered that God, He values and protects life. And now we see that He's sovereign over it. But now, with this statement here, we're starting to zero in on the fact that, okay, God gave us our life. He wants us to steward it. Here we find that that through God, He alone gives it meaning and purpose. Now, the folks out there that are unregenerated, they're not saved, they're not born again, they may say they have purpose, but it's not God's purpose. It's not until you become born again into God's family, then you understand, okay, God has a higher purpose for me. He has something for me to do. He has something for me to accomplish. And that would be true even before I was born. He knew that. And so it's important that we understand that our meaning, life's meaning and life's purpose really comes from God as we begin to trust Him for that. To attempt to live apart from God for our own purposes is both foolish and futile. As long as we view ourselves independently of God, we will fill our days trying to pursue our self-made dreams. And that's what the world does. Living apart from God, just pursuing the dream that they have. And what's the end of that? Well, even Christians could do this, but we end our lives never accomplishing what God had for us to accomplish. And how sad that would be. The fate of an individual, the fate of a nation, whether blessing in life or misfortune in death, often hangs upon obedience or disobedience to God. And so we must understand these blessings that we're speaking of here. Then thirdly, I didn't get you this one yet. God created us for His pleasure, and only as we live to glorify Him will we be fulfilled. Isn't that so true? Do you want fulfillment in life? I guess that's something that we would all, even the world, like they're looking to fulfill their lives. They want fulfillment. They want accomplishment. They want to feel like they've accomplished something. They want to leave a legacy. And that, all that's fine and dandy, but what's God's purpose? And we have to understand that He created us for His pleasure. It's for Him, and it's for His glory. And when we understand that and seek that and work to glorify Him, that's when we're fulfilled. True fulfillment. Wonderful thing. C.T. Studd made this amazing statement. I'm sure many of you have heard it before. Only one life twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And good statement. Letter C. God is sovereign over the giving of life. He's sovereign in the blessing of life. He's sovereign even at the conclusion of our earthly life. Sometimes God allows life to end because of sin. Such was the case in Noah's day and time when God brought a flood as judgment for the immense, horrible sin that filled the earth. We can just turn, and we're here in Genesis, so let's go ahead and look at chapter 6, and we'll see that. chapter 6, verse 17. And God speaking here says, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." And the reason for that was because mankind had become so, so wicked. Then sometimes life is ended because it's God's will. God's sovereign over this, these things. What we have to do is trust Him. We have to trust God to perfectly work out all the details of life, all the details of life and death, for our good and for His glory. And that really should be our aim, is to do it that way. He retains His sovereignty over life and the withholding of life. Man's life is loaned to Him. We don't think of it that way, but our life is on loan. Is loaned to us by God. He gives it to us as a gift. It's on loan, and our job is to steward that life. We were all created. We're coming up to the conclusion here now. Are there any more blanks on your page? Just a conclusion, okay. Let me just make these couple statements and we'll be finished. We were all created with the same main purpose, listen now, to glorify God. That's all of our purposes. Scripture tells us that even before our birth, God had specially crafted individual purposes for our lives. We have to remember Jeremiah 1:5. What God said to Jeremiah, "Before you were born, while you're in your mother's womb, I had a plan for you." And that's true for all of us. So that's what Scripture tells us. God didn't design us to live cookie-cutter lives. In other words, we're not all going to have the same purpose. We have one same purpose, to glorify God, but how that plays out is different for all of us. God alone works out those details. Let's go ahead and put this conclusion here because we are out of time. At the end of life, this is what we have to understand. At the end of life, each of us will stand before Christ and give an account for how we use the resources He allotted us. That's our life, and then all the resources, and we're going to see those resources in the next coming weeks of this series. All right, let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Thank